able to share it. I think this year we want to change the format a little bit, not 2 hours straight, one-way giving and hearing and talking, but we will have a little bit of time to share with one another, but also to prepare and learn to meditate on the Psalms, you know, select this Psalm beforehand, so it'll be more interactive. We'll see how we go, all right? But this week, we will just start off with an introduction of Book of Psalms and how to meditate in the Word of God. All right, talking about Psalms, we are talking about Psalms now. Can we actually bring the screen slightly higher so the thing is not cut off at the top? Peter, do you know how to bring the screen up a little bit, just a little notch? Oh, is it, we can lower. That's fine, that's cool, yeah. That's better. Can you see? You can all see. Psalm 23, talking about Psalm. We're talking about Psalm 23. Do you know what is the most loved book in the Bible? Psalms. Do you know which psalm is the most loved psalm in the Bible? In the Psalms? Psalm 23. Why am I asking, right? You know already. So we are practically looking at a portion of scripture that is most loved in all ages. Out of all the scriptures, Book of Psalms is most loved, most read, most sung about, you know, portion of the Bible. It's simple, yet profoundly beautiful, and it's got that simplicity of the beauty, and it really touches our heart, where our needs are. It really touches our heart. You know, undoubtedly, it's the favorite of all, and Jews love it, Eastern Orthodox love it, Catholics love it, and the Western Protestants love it, Charismatics love it, I mean, you name it. Everybody who's, not even non-Christians love it. You know, some years ago, we printed this psalm out and we were, you know, putting into the post box and handing out in a nice printed paper. And non-Christians on the street saw what we were doing and came and asked for a copy of Psalm 23 so he can give it to his friend who is going through a hard time. It's a psalm that speaks straight into our hearts. So hopefully we can learn from it. You know, in the psalm, you can see David is a shepherd boy. David started out as a shepherd boy. He was a good shepherd. He actually risked his life to take the lambs out of the mouth of bears and lions. He really cared for his sheep. And that tender heart comes out through the psalm as he learned to relate to the Lord in the same way. And before we read it, let me just say something simple. There is a difference between modern-day shepherding and, you know, back in those days, you know, when they shepherded. Nowadays, it's more like you have a given, you know, place, and you just move from one paddock to the other and back to the same paddock and then back to the old paddock until the grass grows. So you only have to move it back and forth. Back in those days, they had to travel up to 15 miles a day looking for a fresh feed. So it's a lot more arduous job. It was 24/7 job. So shepherd actually stayed with sheep the whole time, and there was far more intimate between the animal and the human being, the shepherd. In fact, it's more like a sheepdog. The relationship is that, you know, back in those days, shepherd probably had a name for each of the sheep and would call them by name. They probably come. That's why Jesus said, "My sheep, here's my." They come, but they don't come to strangers because this sheep is almost like halfway between human being and an animal because they were shepherding sheep primarily more for wool than a meat. Right now, when we, you know, do them, it's for the meat. You just slaughter them straight away. And the wool's use is good, but not as primary. It's more for meat, but back in those days, it was more for wool. You shear it and then make clothes. Of course, they will eat as well. But there's a slight difference of emphasis when they treated this animal. They developed relationship with these animals as a human beings. And all right. And David actually likens his life as a sheep. So, you know, in this passage, believers are likened to sheep. How would you like to be likened to a sheep? I mean, you know, animal. If you grow up and sometimes you give nicknames and sometimes the nickname is like an animal, like a lion, bear, you know, and so on. How many like to be called sheep? It's okay for the children, right? Children love to be called sheep. It's all right. It's cute and, you know, cuddly and lovely and so on. But the fully grown men, would you like to be called sheep? Jesus actually called Herod fox. And in Psalm 22, a psalm before, Jesus calls Roman soldiers who will persecute him as an ox. Bull of Bashan have surrounded me and so on. Calls sheep. And David acknowledges himself like a sheep. What is the sheep like? Sheep easily goes astray. Sheep needs a shepherd. They don't have a lot of claws. They don't camouflage. They don't run fast. They don't have a, you know, they're not powerful animals. They need protection. They need providence. They need to be led. Sheep goes astray. Isaiah 53, you know, we were like sheep. Everyone has gone astray in their own ways. And sheep goes astray easily. And David is saying, I go astray. I need a shepherd in life. How many can say, do you believe, and we are mostly here, we know the challenges of life are such that you acknowledge, I acknowledge, I need a shepherd of my soul. I'm not the captain of my own destiny. I need a shepherd to guide me. It is in life, you know, it is beyond men to be fully self-sufficient at all times. Is correct? It is too hard. It is beyond man's ability at times to chart the course for the future and know exactly what's coming and not get lost. Follow through your plans. It is very, very difficult for a man to know when to rest, how to rest, how to take care of oneself at times. It takes a shepherd for us to come to place of rest. Some of us are very, very deep, you know, very bad at resting, right? And the shepherd has to make us to rest at times. It is beyond man's ability at times to keep his soul in good order through life's bitter experiences. And we need restoring of our soul. It is beyond man's ability to walk in the path of righteousness by his own moral strength. We compromise at times and how we need shepherd. It is beyond man's ability to be not afraid, to be courageous facing, and as you go through the valley, deep valley of the shadow of death. And we need a shepherd. All that is a confession. David, as a fully grown man, a king at that, he's saying, you know what? I'm like a sheep. Maybe David wants to be known like a lion to outside. A king, like a lion, self-sufficient, powerful, majestic. But no, I'm a sheep. I need the Lord. So this psalm opens with a very bold confession of David as a mature man and a king. He said, ah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall we read this together? Let's read it, and I'm going to go through verse by verse, and hopefully you can meditate on those. Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder how many of you memorized that psalm. I remember I memorized that psalm when I was year 12 going through HSC. I was under so much trial and stress. I just memorized it and I kept writing down, the Lord is my shepherd. I still had to sit for exam. But I needed comfort, right? Right, Sam? You know, you feel the pressure, you feel the burning in your heart. And I just kept writing, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I memorize it. I've written it down. I still remember it. You know, the word of God has power. It's got this restoring power. I read, the verse one is so crucial. And you can remember verse one with the five fingers, so to speak. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the thumb, the only one. He's not a, he's the only one. The Lord is not just the Lord, Master. This is a very specific, Hebrew name. Yahweh is the name of God. It means, I am. He is the real existent I am, self-existent one I am. He is always there, unchanging one. So you point to the one, the Lord, the Yahweh, the God of Israel, the living one, always existent one. He's always there with me and beside me. He never changes. Is a third one. Is the one that grab. It gives you. He wasn't. He's saying, it's a confession. He is. Continuous present tense. The Lord is. He's with me. He's my shepherd. My is the, this is the ring finger. It's for the wedding ring. It's the finger that nerve, somebody said, that, connects to the heart. I don't know. Ask doctors later, but that's what's been said. That's why you put, finger on that ring. He's mine. I am his. The shepherd is the least prestigious job, shepherding. But the Lord became that the least in society to be our shepherd. And that word shepherd has many, many meaning behind it. It means personal guide, provider, protector, and healer. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So that is a first sentence that opens up the rest. If the Lord is not my shepherd, if I don't confess him as my shepherd, then we have no shepherd. You are the captain of your own voyage, the world. Unless we recognize need for a shepherd, need for a guide, and acknowledge and say, I need you in my life to guide me through. A man doesn't have a shepherd. So we need that. We need to be like the sheep. And the relationship is one of total dependence, isn't it? As I said, the sheep don't have, they don't run fast. They don't hunt animals. They don't camouflage. They don't have sharp teeth or claws. They just go around just chewing, the thing, go baha. Sometimes they fall over, did you know? And they can't get up by themselves when they fall over sideways. Shepherd has to actually push and, stand them up. They get disoriented and they get frightened easily and they run off. They get scared easily. They're not the strongest animal. So how do they survive? What is their defense skill? What is their survival skill? It's basically they learn to follow the shepherd's voice. Hear the shepherd's voice. Ability to hear the shepherd's voice. Trust the shepherd's knowledge about the pastures, about the future, terrain, green pastures, still waters, and follow. And, sometimes I look at Christians, myself included, and we are not the most smartest, street smart, powerful people. And sometimes I look at, younger people, like, people who are very innocent, and go, oh, how is he going to make life? Nathan is very, very innocent, I think. How is he going to make life? The life is, world is really tough place sometimes, right? But God takes care of us when we learn to look to him and follow him. And that's a wonderful assurance. I shall not want. Hebrew there word, I shall not want, really means need. I shall not lack anything I need. It doesn't mean that I will have all the luxuries that I want. He's saying that the Lord is my total resources and my all-inclusive provider. And he's saying that the way I look at it, in my past and looking towards the future, I am totally contented and unafraid looking forward to the future for the needs that I will face. How is your heart? Can you say that? Do you feel that way? Looking into the future, my ability, sometimes like, you know, when I was year 12 or year 11, like, you know, I came freshly from Korea. I didn't even know how to speak English, you know, and I was trying to do these exams and things. It was a lot of mega stress. Lord, maybe that's why I got so deep into the word. Stress, you know, just push me. But looking forward, you know, kind of like as a young man, some young men here, some people, there are so many unknown factors in life. And you kind of, you know, understand the world is not a, like, you know, love fest. But looking forward to your future, do you feel confident? Do you know that God is your total resource? And you will not lack. You will not come into a place of desiring something you can't have. But David said, I'm fully satisfied in God. Everything that I want is all there. And looking into the future, I'm at rest. I'm at peace. Why? Not because I know, you know, I've got, you know, $10 million in the bank account. I know who is my provider. My source is the living God. The living God. Hallelujah. He is our source. Amen. Sometimes we trust in, you know, when I read this, the Lord is my shepherd. The question is, who is your shepherd? If I make the Lord my shepherd, the rest holds true. We go through life. I found, we meet a lot of covetous people. People who are unsatisfied because they desire something they can't have. David is saying that I am someone totally satisfied. That's a deep place. That's a beautiful place. And it takes a sheep kind of mentality, trust, to get to that place and live in that way. Amen. So it's a wonderful blessing. Wonderful blessing. I think only those who met the Lord as a shepherd learns contentment. Bible talks about contentment. And only when we meet the Lord and relate to the Lord as our personal shepherd and don't look to things, events, people, even the family, don't look to other things, but look to the Lord, knowing He's a good God, we learn contentment. Are you satisfied? Are you contented? Are you happy, satisfied where you are at? How many are? Because that's a beautiful place when you are satisfied. You know, sometimes I, you know, every time Christmas or birthday come around and I'm looking at like, okay, what do I get for myself or give, you know, for Christmas? I mean, we don't have like, we're not extremely rich or anything, but I got nothing I want. I got everything I want. If I want hamburger, I can just go down and eat. I got money for it, you know. I wanted guitar last year and my mom bought it. I was going to buy. She just bought it and I'm happy. I'm contented. I'm thinking, what do I get for our, you know, wedding anniversary or stuff, my birthday? Can't get stuff, but I'm happy. I got everything I need. I want. I got the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And every now and then people give me some free food. That's really good. Go home and eat. Anyway, moving on. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It talks about providence and rest. First, let's talk about rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. God is not a slave driver. You know, when you are a shepherd in those, I mean, you cannot drive or push sheep too hard. They'll get sick. You remember Jacob said, you know, because our sheep, I can't go with you. You're on a horse, but, you know, I'm a shepherd man. I'm a shepherd boy. I have to go very slow. Go on ahead. I'll follow you because you don't drive them more than 15 miles a day, generally speaking. You got to give them rest. And then you got to feed them. You got to give them water. You know, it's a very highly skilled job. You got to know exactly where to go, where the green pastures are. You still have to give a perfect balance between the rest and work. Because if you don't also move, you can't find grass. You have to go and move into the new area, yet not drive them too hard. And God, David is saying, Lord, the way you lead me in my life, you just know perfect balance. Sometimes we lie down too long and grow fat. or you fall over, oops, eaten too much. But you have to move, but you don't drive them. The Lord gives you rest. And this is something, rest. Let's say the word rest. Rest. Once more, rest. Rest. Rest is a big word because few of us know how to rest. Because the modern mark of modern life is restlessness. Would you say that? Restlessness. And what we call rest or entertainment industry is a distraction mainly. It's not rest. How many agree? You go watch a movie, you see things blown up and go, whoa, you take mind off things and then you get right back. You know, in this life, there are things that impacts our soul that causes our emotional makeup and our soul to continually fall apart. And the rest is where you come in a quiet space before God, where your center is redefined around God, and then all the pieces of your life come together inside. You find wholeness on the inside, and you are unhurried in that place. You're not pushed, and you're not always, you know, busy. You're not always pushing things. You're not always running, chasing. Time sort of goes slow. You stand still. You find center because God is the author of time. When you find center in God, the circumstances and everything else gets defined, and then you are unhurried. It's a place your soul gets restored. When the pieces of your life come together and you see through new light, and you have that, what do you call that, yo-yo? You have that space, you have margin in your heart and life. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, sometimes sheep, you know, especially young ones, they don't rest. They want to just run around all day. And when do they normally rest? About noontime, because that's when the sun is hot. The shepherd actually makes them to lie down, because young ones want to run around and, you know, there's a bounding energy. You got energy. And, you know, shepherd has to make them lie down, push them over. Or just the leg will lie down, rest. because we need rest, but we also need exercise. And there is also the perfect balance of eating and drinking, isn't it? You eat, feed on the grass, and you drink water. Maybe I'm pushing the analogy too far. To me, eating is like a word of God. Drinking is like the Spirit of God. It's a balanced diet. And did you know that sheep has the mouth and the nose very, very close to each other? If the water is choppy, they can't drink. They get choked. The water goes into their nose, and that's very painful. So the water has to be very calm so they can drink unhurried. You can't hurry them through drinking water. Water will just go through into their nose and get into trouble. So it's a highly skilled job, this ancient shepherding. The Lord knows exactly what we need and how we lead through, how he leads through us. He restores our soul. It is in this place God restores us. Verse 3. Hang on. Sorry, I kind of forgot to do all this. Doesn't matter. I've wasted all that. Oh my goodness, those good slides. I worked until 2 a.m. and I'm just not even showing you. All right. Verse 3. Restores our soul. Walking through this life, imperfect, because we only see the back of the tapestries from this side of the life. We give and receive hurts, experience disappointments, and sometimes receive deep scars in our soul. However, one thing is sure. For those who steadily follow the great shepherd, there will be ongoing process of restoration and healing in their soul as deep as needed. Amen? That's a promise. How do you find restoring soul? How do you find healing? Where do you find healing? Keep walking and following the shepherd. And the restoration and healing comes. How? He leads us through the path of righteousness for his namesake. Path of righteousness is where we find continual flow of healing for our soul. Have you seen sheep track? It's very narrow, actually. They go through the same, you know, but the young ones, untrained ones, go everywhere. They don't follow the track. They go everywhere. But the trained ones, they follow the sheep track. It's training of the Lord. Chastening of the Lord yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. Hebrews 12:11. Righteousness restores our soul for his name's sake. Why for his name's sake? Because we bear his holy name. Amen. Christians, you bear God's holy name. Every one of us bear God's holy name in our lives. So he will lead us through the path of righteousness. In the path of righteousness, as we keep walking, the Lord restores our soul. And then there is a sudden change of tone. He says, oh yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. David is now looking into the experience of deep, dark valley experiences. But he makes this confession, I will fear no evil. We are very, very afraid people. Even the strongest, famous, rich people, powerful people are all afraid inside. Very afraid. David finds, I will fear no evil, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He makes this confession. Why? Because he knows the Lord's personal presence with him. And you know what? David is not saying this lightly. It's not a 17-year-old man, boy saying, you know what? The Lord is, I'm not going to be afraid. David actually is writing it as a fully grown man, has gone through a lot of deep, dark valley experiences. I'll just, you know, mention a few. He was chased like a dog for many years by Saul with his army. He was running for his life. Saul wanted to kill him with his army for many years. He lived in holes and caves for many years with the rejects of society as he was running from Saul. Saul almost pinned David to the wall by spear. Twice he threw spear at him, he just missed it. Maybe got a few hair, but David ran. I mean, this man went through a lot, suffered a lot. You know, he ran to a foreign country. Once he pretended as a madman to survive because, you know, the king of Philistine could kill him. So he pretended to be a mad person. He was drilling saliva down his beard and scratching the door and going, adababagadaba. So that king would say, ah, he's lost his mind. You know, what's the point of killing him? He survived. Poor guy, how low can he go? He went through a lot, deep, dark valleys. Having come out of it, David is saying, what? You know, David says so many times, you know, surely between me and death, there is just one step, and I'm dead. He went through much, much painful experience. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what? The Lord was with me. That's why Saul couldn't get me. Just a half a step, I'm dead. So many things could have happened to me, but God kept me alive because he's my shepherd. I see shepherd more than the shadow of darkness. Amen. You know, when the shepherds are leading in Israel, usually it's, you know, the Jordan Valley has a very deep, dark gorge. And the wild animals like jackals, foxes, and lions, they come out for prey. Usually the danger time is at dawn and dusk when the long shadows overcast the deep dark valley. And sometimes shepherds has to cross to get to the place of abundance. And the sheep has to follow. And there are the dangerous times, you know, when the shadows are long. And we trust, we gotta follow. Sometimes the Lord leads us through those deep, dark valleys. I was thinking, you know, the dawn and the dusk. In our personal life, I think every time there's a danger. But teenage years, as well as, twilight of our years, there are some unusual dangers. Animals, you know, the evil, the devil, can pose a lot of lure that is very real. You know, I remember when I was just graduated, began to make money, the world began to just shine out with a neon sign and, you know, Paul, go for success, work hard, achieve big, and you will be a big shot. That was unusual, you know. I faced temptation I didn't have before. There are other temptations that you go through, but I think teenage years, a lot of people drop out, lose faith. And then at the twilight of years, when you look back and say, what is my life all about? A lot of people go through difficulties and make, you know, choices. These are the times you gotta stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. He will guide us. And because why? Because David says, I find comfort in the Lord's presence in the two of the instruments that he uses. One is, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is the rod? It's a two different thing. Rod is a heavy, weighted weapon the shepherd carries, so that when the wild animals comes trying to get you, he will thump it and or thrust like a spear. He will fight off those wild animals. And the shepherd's crook is the staff. So it's a long thing with a, have you seen the picture, like this hook? And when the sheep goes astray, because they often do, you just reach out and, you know, grab the neck and yank it back into the line. So when the devil, evil spirit, comes against you, the Lord will destroy, hit its head. When we go off into the strange place, the Lord will reach out and pull us back. We'll just get a little bit of neck ache. But that's all right. It's good for us. And David says, the Lord knows what to use when. Comforts me. I will stay within his fold. In my teenage years, in my dusk years, everything in between, from birth, first cry to last tears, the Lord is my shepherd. He will guide me through the deep valley of shadow of death and be same all along. Amen. Amen. Right here, you find that the he is my shepherd became you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What happened? In the deep, dark valley experience, the shepherd who was going ahead of you, he became you, going with you, besides you, maybe carrying you in his arms. He found intimacy. In the times of deep valley experience, you find the Lord in a way that you never found him. He's close to you. And you find that intimacy from he to you becomes friend, not only shepherd. Shepherd turns into a friend during those times. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. On the other side of the valley experience, which we all have, many of them, through life, there is a table prepared for you. We Asians, a lot of Asians here, we love eating, but all races like eating. Table, makan. feast. It's a table of a great feast and honor. You're sitting on the one side, and the Lord is sitting on the other side of the table. He's just arranged this special feast for you to publicly honor you. Enemies are still there, but they are powerlessly looking in, gobsmacked at the sight of sheer opulence, generosity, luxury, and honor at that banqueting table, perhaps licking their wounds. It is the table that Lord himself has planned and then prepared to honor you. And there's ancient Eastern hospitalities are there. What they do is that when you have a very honored guest, when you want to honor your guest, you bring the best food you can afford. Get the best one. And you spread it out, really, to the point where, you know, one of the table leg might break, you know, can't support the weight of the food. Right? Second, you anoint your guest's head with fragrant oil. Third, the owner of the house personally pour into a cup a drink before a meal. That's what he does. He pours it. And I remember I was thinking my mother-in-law, Mia's mom, whenever I was there in her place, you know, she always offer me, whatever she's offering me, she will pour a drink right up to the brim, like, you know, ah, stop, stop, stop. And she would just pour right up, more and more. Even the food. My beloved mother-in-law, I miss her so much. I love her so much. She cared for me, you know. She will put rice bowl, and she will put it like this. So it's hard to eat, you know, you spill over. She will just give the food right up to the top. And what is she saying is, Paul, I love you. You're my son-in-law. I give you all I can. All I can, I'll give you. She cares for me. I mean, you know, that's what the Lord is saying. Saying, you know, all I can is yours. I pour it to you. And he doesn't just stop right at the brim. He pours it and pours it until it runs over. It runs over to the table. It runs over to the ground. And he's still pouring. All I have is yours. I give you the best gift I can afford. And you're standing there saying, oh, my cup runs over, Lord. I feel uncomfortable now. It's too much. We call it a waste. God calls it extravagant love. That's how he prepares table for us, his love. You know, when I look at it, there's a human part. You know, the picture I get is the Mary of Bethany, alabaster jar of perfume. She broke the whole thing. She broke the whole thing. You just put a little bit on Jesus. She broke the whole thing, poured the whole thing over Jesus. Disciples were angry. So they called it waste. What a waste. But she gave all she could. All she could on Jesus. This is Christian life. You give the best. You give all you can to Jesus. Because you know what? One day you will be sitting on the banqueting table of the Lord. It's called the Feast of the Lamb. The great supper of the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord will be sitting on the other side. He will be pouring extravagantly. To honor you, to show his love. Notice your heart is so blessed and honored that enemy simply recedes to the background. You don't even see them. Not even a mention there. It's just they're there, but then you forget because your focus is on the Lord. Your heart is so blessed, so overflowing, so gobsmacked, so overcome with the generosity and the love. And the table the Lord has spread out before you. The last verse. David says, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word goodness really means generosity. God is generous. Love, that means actually covenantal loyalty. That's what it means. It's actually the word that's used in the wedding vow. Loyalty. You know, sheep runs a lot. Things happen, sheep runs for life. Afraid always runs. But sheep, David, as a sheep, under the Lord's shepherding, is not running. He's doing the following. He's not doing running, he's following. I come across sometimes people who are running from something. Running from fear, running from failure, running from this and that. Are you running from something or are you following someone? Notice he is following the Lord, and what's following him? Generosity and loyal faithfulness, loyal love of the Lord follows him all the time. People in the world, we used to be about idea of running away from danger and the fear. Or chasing after these things, love that you cannot find. Sometimes young people get brokenhearted because you chase love and their love runs away. You chase generosity, they run away. But David is saying, I follow the Lord, and from now on, what's chasing me? What's following me? Only these two things will follow me. In fact, the Hebrew word there is actually not follow, it's actually chase. You are being chased by these things. Before, you were chased by wild dogs and pack of animals. Now, only thing that will chase you all your life is goodness and mercy, generosity, and covenantal royal love and faithfulness of the Lord, and your friends follow you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. What mercy. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's David's ultimate vision of his life. This is the vision of his life. What's your vision of your life? Dwelling in the house of the Lord. David says again in Psalm 27, verse 4, famous one, the one thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold your beauty, inquire in your temple. And he's saying, this is my portion forever. No one can take it away from me. You know, in this life, you may not have a house, some of you, but you will always have home in this life and the life eternal if you make the Lord your shepherd. You will always have home in this life and the life after. I'm going to close, there's one thing this psalm doesn't tell. Because, you know, John 10, when you read John 10, Jesus, I believe, had this psalm in his mind. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What is your shepherd? Sometimes people make even money their shepherd, achievement their shepherd. Even family member, even a church pastor, I'm an under shepherd. I'll have to leave you at some point. I can't be there at the, you know, point of your greatest need. There's only one person that will never leave you through and through. While we are here, I'll do my best by the grace of God and so on. And we will do our best for each other. There's only one person who will never fail you. It's Jesus. Jesus laid down his life. Now David ran after this bear and the lion and took, you know, the lamb off their mouth. Maybe they were dead, who knows, but he still went for it. Jesus laid down his life. He bled, he died, he gave everything. He's the good shepherd. Who is your shepherd? And when we say, Lord Jesus, you are my shepherd, he really is your shepherd. He will be all that, everything, the Lord said. Amen? You want to make Jesus. Not only, I'm just not talking about if you've never made Jesus your shepherd, none of these are true. Sometimes we are saved, but yet we are not entering into this tender and intimate relationship. You make the Lord your shepherd. He will restore your soul when it's beyond us to keep our soul in good order. When we are afraid, he will chase away every darkness and fear. When we are lost, he will lead us in the path of righteousness. When we are in need, he will be all that we need. The point where I will be satisfied in this life. You know, this psalm is not just for the next life. It's actually for this life. It's written for this life. Amen. If you want to make Jesus your shepherd, why don't we just stand before the Lord and say, you are my shepherd. Whatever I got in my future, you are the one who will lead me. I follow. You make me more than sufficient. You are my love. You are the goal. My goal and my ambition in life is to love you, to walk with you, to offer you my best years of my life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Can I get musicians up? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are such a friend. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Lord, you are our shepherd. You are our friend. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare, you are our shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus? But let's declare, let's say, you are my shepherd, Jesus. I shall not want. Can we say that? You are my shepherd, Jesus. I shall not want. I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. Can we raise a key? Maybe a couple of notches. Is that okay? D, can you use capo to make it E or something? His man's voice is a little bit higher than find it a little hard to sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Okay, I'll grab my guitar too. Okay, can you hit E?
Everything to God in prayer.
Father, we thank you. Lord, you are the ultimate great shepherd, Lord. You lay down your life for us sheep that have gone astray. You brought us back to the great shepherd of our soul. Lord, we thank you. You are all our need. Lord, we declare our sufficiency, our dependence, our victory in our Savior, our King, our Shepherd in Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit come upon the whole congregation of people who seek to walk with you. I pray you release great power of restoration and love, O God, and joy in our daily walk with you, Father. May we draw, Lord, closely to your presence and know your voice. In the name of Jesus, I bless the congregation in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you, my friends. There's tea and coffee at the back. Hang around. Say hello to Perry and Eileen and family.